TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
To all New Yorkers 12 and older who need COVID-19 vaccines, we'd like to welcome you to get yours. It's your turn. Get vaccinated today. Visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters, Mask and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health issues, including addiction and school issues. If you know someone that needs a referral for an inpatient or outpatient program, for a therapist, for a yeshiva liaison to place your child in school for the upcoming school semesters, please give us a call at 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat our number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to in shul usually. Our number, it's confidential, and you can call anonymously from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 718-758-0400. Tonight I have on with us someone that is frequently on the Mask radio show and that does programs for Mask, and that is Dr. Eric Bornstein. He's a senior lecturer for the Institute of Natural Resources, who's been teaching these topics, these subjects, on to medical professionals around the United States for many years. He also goes to yeshivos and talks to the students about vaping, marijuana, and the dangers of opioids and all illegal substances. So I'd like to welcome on once again, Dr. Bornstein. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
Thank you, Ruchama. It's my pleasure to be here.
So Dr. Bornstein, we always do these programs for parents, and it's so important. We can't do them enough. We have hundreds and hundreds of parents tuning in when we do these programs, and we will be doing another one with Dr. Bornstein, where you will be able to come on to Zoom. We will be announcing it, and we will be advertising it over the next couple of weeks. But I'd like to get the conversation going tonight about marijuana and vaping. And Doctor, there are so many issues relating to the legalization in New York and New Jersey about marijuana and confusion. Let's open the show with, what are some of those issues, some of those problems that are coming up as a result of it, please?
Thank you, Ruchama. The first issue that I see is the state governments, the governors, the politicians in each state. It's not only New York and New Jersey, it's now in states around the country, giving the imprimatur of legality to this substance, to marijuana. It's bad enough with what those of us who deal with these folks and these issues have to deal with kids who are into too much alcohol, that of course has been legal since Prohibition ended. But when we're dealing with alcohol, it's really, really different because most people understand at this point what alcohol does and how it works and what alcohol does to kids as far as they shouldn't drive with it. It's going to mess up their schoolwork. They're going to get addicted to it. People have had a little bit too much kiddish at a party or on a, you know, Shabbat. So they understand the alcohol. There is a complete lack of understanding with marijuana. Marijuana and the psychoactive substance in marijuana, which is THC, is actually a neurotransmitter inhibitor. It slows down the brain significantly while at the same time increasing dopamine, which is the pleasure neurotransmitter that gets people addicted. The politicians don't understand this at all. And if they do understand it, they look the other way to gain the tax dollars from the legality. The marijuana that most of the politicians are making these laws legalizing, the marijuana they remember, is from the 60s and 70s. It's from the Woodstock days, from their college days. And this marijuana contained 1%, maybe 2% THC, the psychoactive component, the part that makes you high and gets addictive. Today, in any one of these stores that are going to be legal around both states, New York and New Jersey, you will be able to walk into a marijuana dispensary and buy 30% or 35% marijuana to smoke, THC, 35% THC. Dabbing concoctions, dabbing waxes or shatters or oils or honeys at 60% THC. Vape oils at 90% THC. This is the stuff of nuclear marijuana. This is the stuff of disaster. Just to give folks an idea, in 1969, in Woodstock, Upper State New York, there were 400,000 kids smoking marijuana at Yasgur's Farm. If one of these kids smoked a small marijuana cigarette or a small joint is approximately the same today as it was back then, about 300 milligrams of marijuana. At 1% THC, that's 3 milligrams of THC they would potentially take into their bodies. If you bump that up to 10% THC, weak marijuana by today's standards, 10% of 300 is 30 milligrams. So you're talking about tremendously higher amounts, tremendous amounts of the drug, the main component of marijuana that you're now bringing into your bodies. Kids are doing it at the worst possible times when their brains are not formed. The human brain doesn't finish forming until they're about 24 years old. So in between the years of 14, 15, 16, 18, 20, when they're bringing in massive amounts of this drug, far more than we ever got in the 60s and 70s, in a brain that isn't fully formed, well, that's ripe for addiction. And anybody who says that this THC in today's marijuana is not addictive is dangerously uninformed, because I see it all the time. And once they get addicted to the dopamine, the neurotransmitter dopamine from taking this THC, this super high potent marijuana, then they'll get their dopamine wherever they can. They'll get it from cocaine. They'll get it from amphetamines. They'll get it from opioids. Anything that will give them a dopioid rush, they will reach for. So today's marijuana is absolutely a gateway drug, without question. It's absolutely addictive, without question. And it's more of these psychoactive substances than we've ever seen going into these kids before. And the politicians, unfortunately, are functionally illiterate. They're ignorant about this amount of these chemicals. And because of that, they are putting an entire generation of kids at dangers we have never seen before. This is not your grandfather's marijuana. This is not what was available in the 60s and 70s. These are huge amounts of THC and extraction products that we're now using this generation of kids as guinea pigs. And we're seeing more psychosis, we're seeing more schizophrenia, we're seeing more despondency and suicide, we're seeing more gateway to other drugs. It is a disaster, in my view. And I have been to a couple of marijuana programs where I've heard politicians speak, I've heard other groups speak about it, and they all give very sort of blasé vanilla messages because it's now legal. putting the imprimatur of legality on it is the worst thing that we could do, because now the kids are going to say, well, gee, if it's legal, it must be safe. Couldn't be further from the truth.
So, Dr. Bornstein, I'd like to ask you to explain to my audience the correlation between e-cigarettes, you know, vaping, nicotine, and vaping marijuana or THC.
Okay. So a lot of parents believe, and I've spoken, unfortunately, to quite a few parents, they go out and purchase nicotine vapes for their kids so that their kids won't buy it on the black market. And at least the nicotine is safer than the marijuana. Again, in many ways, these are fallacies. Nicotine is a very potent stimulant, a very potent stimulant. And the nicotine, the amount of nicotine that your average kid can get from vaping for 5 or 10 minutes is equivalent today to smoking half a pack of cigarettes. So the amount of nicotine that comes from these e-cigarettes is a huge amount comparatively. And again, we're dealing with young, unfinished brains. So what nicotine does, nicotine will stimulate neurotransmitters and give kids feelings of superiority and feelings of joy and feelings of pleasure that they would not get unless they smoked lots and lots and lots of cigarettes. So if you look at the neurotransmitters, nicotine will increase dopamine in young people, which is pleasure and appetite suppression. Nicotine will increase adrenaline, which gives kids an arousal or a feeling of being alive. Nicotine will increase another neurotransmitter called glutamate, which helps them learn. Kids say, oh, I can study better while I'm on nicotine. Nicotine will increase serotonin that makes them happier and gives them a mood push. Nicotine will also reduce their anxiety. It's sort of a reverse action on anxiety, and it will reverse their anxiety in many cases. So the kids in their young brains are getting primed with all of these neurotransmitters exploding in their brain from the nicotine. And it's a very easy transfer then to THC. THC, on the other hand, is not a stimulant. It's a neurotransmitter inhibitor, but it will absolutely increase dopamine. So it moves right into the dopaminergic addiction in the young brain, and the kids will feel high because everything is slowing down for them instead of being stimulated. So if they want to be stimulated, they'll take the nicotine. If they want to come down and feel less stimulated, they'll graduate right into the THC or the marijuana vapes. But the dopamine is increased in both, which is the addictive potential. So the nicotine is the up and the THC is the down. And for kids who are not yet fully formed, just as an example, there's what we call a risk-reward ratio for everything that somebody does. If I cross the street on a busy street, what is the risk of me getting hit by a car versus the reward of me getting safely across the street to the ice cream shop? Everything is a risk-reward. Kids have not lived enough life yet to understand the risk-reward ratio. So if you give a kid a vape stick, a nicotine stick, and they're vaping, and all of a sudden the dopamine and the adrenaline and the serotonin is exploding in their mind, they feel all of these good feelings, and they think there's very little risk to it because they haven't lived enough life yet to understand what the risk really is. And when they take those feelings and then go into marijuana, well, then the whole game has changed, and especially the very potent marijuana. So if you look at some of the data and the research from areas like the New England Journal of Medicine, Journal of the American Medical Association, Nature, The Lancet, many of these top, top journals, they will say, all of them, that kids who vape nicotine are four times more likely to then vape marijuana. Kids who have never tried nicotine are a lot less likely to try the marijuana. And the marijuana in a vape device or a dab device, because these devices are slick, they're electronic, they're cool, many of them now have apps. You can hook them up to your cell phones to use them through a cell phone app. The kids are very adept at this, and they will graduate very easily from the nicotine to the THC. It's a disaster for this generation.
Yeah, it really, really is. And on the mask helpline, I mean, the numbers are through the roof of families calling that their children are addicted to the vaping, doing marijuana, and the response to the parents, they say, is, but it's legal. So if it's legal, nothing must be wrong with it. And you did it in the 60s, maybe. So what's the big deal? Everyone is doing it. Doctor, you brought up something very important, and that is psychosis. And I do want to say that the inpatient psych wards have long lines waiting for beds because so many young adults, are ending up in a psych ward as a result of, and please explain to my audience how that works.
Well, one of the explanations I can give is through an example. Before COVID came and everybody had to start doing things online, so I've been lecturing to medical professionals online now for the better part of 14 months because of the COVID pandemic, along with everyone else. Before that, I was doing it live in 40 different states. The last COVID live lecture I gave in New York was to about 300 people in a hotel room somewhere in upstate New York. And one of my attendees at that lecture was a pediatric psychologist. And she said to me that in the last 18 months of her practice, at one of the breaks, she said in the last 18 months of her practice, every single case of pediatric psychosis that she has seen, every one, from 15 to 23, had high potency marijuana behind it. What happens is these kids cannot deal with the massive amounts of dopamine and serotonin that come in from these vaping devices. And then the brains don't know how to deal with it. Even kids who would never have psychotic or an anxious event in their lives because they're not predisposed to it, with these chemicals exploding in their young brains, they are pushed over into these episodes. Kids who do have a genetic predisposition for psychosis, they are pushed over very easily and very young. Even those that don't are ending up in psychosis wards. So this high-potency marijuana, when it gets into the brain, the THC, at levels we have never seen before in our society, never seen before, with the dabbing and the vaping, we're seeing this all the time. To make an example that maybe people understand from alcohol, if you drink a couple of beers, okay, so the beer has a few percent alcohol in it. Imagine drinking 12 ounces of vodka or 12 ounces of bourbon. Would you ever think that you would do that at once? No, you'd get sick and vomit and maybe pass out. Well, if you're vaping 90% THC, 90% marijuana vape oil from a vaping device, that is not the equivalent of smoking a small joint from the 60s. That's the equivalent of taking 12, 14, 16 ounces of bourbon in about 60 seconds. And that's what these kids are doing to their brains. So when you tell me there's long lines in the psychosis ward and we know that THC causes psychosis, it's a straight line of cause and effect. There is no question here. And the politicians are allowing it to happen. And they're making the parents think that it's okay with their imprimatur of legality. I have to tell you also, on the last 3 weeks, I have been at a couple of kiddushes from Shabbos in my neighborhood in the Five Towns. And I've spoken to two parents who will remain anonymous who tell me they are buying their children marijuana vaping devices because they're afraid of their kids buying them on the black market. Who ever heard of such a thing, of kid parents now buying their kids marijuana? And when you speak to these parents, they are as uneducated as the politicians and as uneducated as the physicians that are, you know, are giving out some of these marijuana medical devices to people. It's unheard of. The only educated ones are the dealers who are making a lot of money because they know what they're doing, hooking an entire generation.
Doctor, you're a researcher, and mask is actually, we're on the ground We get parents calling from around the world, from everywhere, from every town, city, state. And both you and I do programs together. You've gone into yeshivas, speaking to the young kids. Can you tell us the reaction of the young boys and girls that you're speaking to when you do give them all this information, please?
Yeah, it depends on the age group. I've spoken to grades 7 all the way up through grade 12. Usually, I am swarmed by the kids, you know, 20 and 30 deep when I'm done. They'll swarm me afterwards to ask questions because nobody's giving them real information. And I will tell you that at a couple of the yeshivas that I've lectured at, what I've heard from the Menahelim is the parents want the lectures next because the parents don't have any information either. So I've been trying to set up lectures for some of the parents. The kids will go home. They'll tell the parents they just had a lecture on vaping, and the parents will say to the kids, wow, I want to go to that lecture. So we're trying to do that. But some of the things that are very, very disturbing that I've been hearing in the yeshivas is the following. Number one, there is a big push right now for the teenagers to have these electric scooters. That's where the kids will get on a scooter, it'll have a battery, and they'll just scooter to school or scooter to yeshiva. And I've had multiple menahelim from different yeshivas tell me that is a disaster because if you give a kid a scooter that has a battery in it, they can now go 6 or 7 miles in between charges. So these kids are going 3, 4, 5 miles away from their homes to buy stuff they would never buy in their own neighborhood because someone would see them or it wouldn't be sold to them. It's like giving a 14-year-old a car. And the kids are giving these kids scooters to allow them to go wherever they want to, and they go buy this stuff outside of the neighborhood. Second issue is one of the messages that I try and give is if you see one of your friends getting heavily involved in this stuff or using marijuana vapes, tell the menahel, tell the teachers, because it could mean your kids, it could mean your friend's life. And I've had reports back from multiple yeshivas that some of the boys have actually gone to the menahelim and said, hey, you need to talk to Chaim or you need to talk to Shmuley because I think they're using these things. And the menahelim go and talk. Then they call me. I have them put the kid through a drug test. And sure enough, the kid tests positive for marijuana from using some of these devices. So the message is getting out. And we need the kids who are not doing it to really step up against the kids that are doing it and say, you shouldn't do this and let the Rebbeim know. The third issue is some of these kids who were real sharp kids, slick kids, even the, you know, the good ones and the good yeshivas are making businesses out of it. They're buying the vaping devices. They're buying the THC and selling it for higher prices to other kids in the yeshivas. It is a tragedy, and this is what legalization of this stuff is bringing.
Yes, it really is a tragedy. And, you know, it's interesting you said about, you know, the kids could get their hands so many different ways on their phones, and, you know, they have the Juul, they have so many. It's in the strings of a sweatshirt hood. They have.
Yes, it's called vapeware. Vapeware, where kids are now vaping through the hoodie strings. It's clothing you can buy on the internet to hide a vaping device in the clothing in a pocket, and you think your kid is chewing on the hoodie string of their sweatshirt. They're actually vaping through the hoodie string. It's unbelievable.
Quite frightening. So, Doctor, we are running out of time. I would like you to just maybe we should educate our listeners on what people are vaping other than nicotine and THC.
Unfortunately, that is turning into an even larger tragedy, especially if these kids are buying this stuff on the black market. They are getting these things infused with fentanyl, the uber opioid. One or two vapes of that and a kid will die. They're infusing this stuff with PCP, angel dust. They're infusing vaping devices and marijuana with a hallucinogenic plant called salvia. They're spicing up the marijuana with an opioid-like plant called kratom. Anything that they can put in is causing the problem. We haven't even touched yet on EVALI or the vaping disease, where these high-potency THC oil concoctions end up in kids' lungs, and they end up on ventilators with something called lipoid pneumonia after vaping for only a couple of weeks. There was nothing good, there was nothing safe, there was nothing even remotely beneficial about anybody using nicotine or THC vapes. The dangers are the lungs, the dangers are the brain, the dangers are other chemicals, and you have no idea, your kids have no idea what they're using, what they're buying, and what it's doing to them. Once you change the brain at 15, 16 years old, and you get used to the dopamine, you get used to the serotonin, that brain is changed forever, and they're going to forever be seeking these incorrect neurotransmitter highs, and that's what you're risking, letting your kids use this stuff.
Right, and doctor, I do want to say that not every parent has, you know, the kind of connection with their child, and they find out afterwards, after they've been on it. Some find out, you know, once they already been doing marijuana and vaping and moving on to opioids even. So the important message really is about prevention. First of all, we need to learn how to keep the kids happy. It's a different generation. A lot of kids, especially with Corona, hopefully behind us, they're suffering from anxiety, depression, not having the socialization as a teenager, possibly being home all this time. And it affected them. And they're looking for ways to feel better. So we need to be a step ahead with prevention.
I think one of the ways that could be is I do get pushback from some of the yeshivas and from some of the groups that say, well, gee, if we bring you in, people are going to think we have a problem. And my position is you all have a problem. So if we're going to help educate people, and there are parents listening to me on the line, I would have the parents call the menahalim, call the principal of the yeshivas and say, look, once yeshiva starts again, bring in somebody. It doesn't have to be me. If you want to call me, you can call me. I'm happy to speak at your yeshiva. But bring someone in to give the kids the real deal, the real information about how dangerous this is, and tell the yeshivas you must do this for the kids, and then have the yeshivas also do it for the parents. Because unless the kids and the parents are educated, they're only going to get the information from their peers, from the media, and from the politicians. And that is a disaster in the making.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Bornstein, for making the time. I know you are scheduled for a few hundred people getting trained today on this topic, professionals getting trained today. So thank you for making the time tonight.
Thank you, Ruchama, and thank you for all that you do with MASK.
Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisroel. And please go on to www.maskparents.org and please donate online so we can continue helping these families and getting programs out there in the community. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos and a very good night.
New Yorkers, we have all been focused on keeping ourselves safe from COVID-19, but we can't forget about everything else that goes into staying healthy. Routine care is the best way to prevent any physical or mental health concerns from becoming larger, more complicated issues. This past year has been stressful for many of us, so please look after your body and your mind. If you need a doctor, call 311. If you need mental health support, call 888-NYC-WELL.
Are you interested in hosting your own radio show and podcast, or perhaps a TV program? TalkLine Network can help you get on the air from 1 hour weekly to 24 hours a day. Ideal for ethnic, foreign language, medical, business, and religious broadcasting. We also have full-time radio stations for lease, as well as FM HD channels. For more information, please call 212-769-1925. That's 212-769-1925. Or email zevbrenner@gmail.com.
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network.
the voice of the Jewish community.